from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Ursula, today is Wednesday, but I got to tell you, my view and my, let's see, the way I feel about work has been great. Because I'm actually, just so everybody knows, I'm doing the show from upstairs. And this is where all the suits are. This is where all of the suits, the important folks up here that do the things. So I've been working amongst them. Yeah.
And you're up there because you cannot be around other people because you were exposed to me when I was positive with COVID.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the reason. But
I'm still trying to figure out when I can come back into the building. Hopefully next week.
I think you and I can come back at the same time.
Okay.
What's going
I'm looking
on?
Forward to that date.
What's going on at 11:30, my friend?
Okay, you have to tune in, especially if you are dropping off a kid at college this summer. Maybe you just did it. Maybe you're about to do it. You're doing it with trepidation. You're doing it with a heavy heart. Or maybe if your kid's not going to college, but they're moving out of the house, you're facing the prospect of being an empty nester. Is there life after the kids move out of the house?
Yeah, you can walk around your house naked now.
I was saying this morning that I feel melancholy for the people who are going through this
in 2024.
Well, I mean, she should run if she feels like running, but the idea that she would have any chance at winning a national Republican primary is a very, 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 very long shot at best, since she just had this big loss in her home state just a couple of hours ago. Also, the fact that, as we see from what's going on, despite Trump's many legal problems, he is still the front runner for 2024. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who I thought would be much more popular, right now he is considered the second most popular. And then Mike Pence, I think, in polling is third. I think the best thing that Liz Cheney can do right now is to continue what she has been doing, which is to do her best and do everything that she can to keep Donald Trump from being back in the Oval Office, which she has said is her goal. I don't believe that he deserves another chance. I think there are enough issues that have arisen even since he's been in office. But, you know, what happened on January 6th also cannot be ignored. And so I hope for the country that he isn't the Republican nominee. I'm still hoping that there's some kind of miracle and that some other candidate becomes appealing to the majority of Republicans. But that doesn't look to be the case right now. I don't think she's going to have a shot, but maybe I think she should just continue doing what she's doing right now.
From 2017 until 2021, Liz Cheney voted in line with Donald Trump's position 92.9% of the time. It wasn't until she was one of 10 Republicans to vote to impeach Donald Trump that she all of a sudden got on the bad side of Donald Trump. And when you get on the bad side of Donald Trump in the Republican Party, it could mean, what does that mean? That means that when she won before her seat in Wyoming, she won by 73%. That's how much she won by. But because of that one little thing, she didn't win. I don't feel sorry for Liz Cheney. If you lay with dogs, it's possible to get fleas. And you know what? You wrapped your arms around Donald Trump and you saw what happens when he doesn't like you. You know, the same party that said back the blue and blue lives matter and support law enforcement are the same ones right now. Well, what do you know? We have threats against the FBI. Why is that happening? Because anything that happens and is not pro Donald Trump ends up being a problem. I don't feel sorry for Liz Cheney. You get what you got.
I not only feel sorry. Maybe the feeling that I have about Liz Cheney is respect. I may differ from her in some of her policies and the way she would vote, but I have tremendous respect for people who do the right thing for the country and who are willing to lose everything in order to fight for the truth. And I believe that's what she's done. I think that's very respectful. I think that's why a lot of Democrats were actually voting for her. I think that's why there's even any kind of talk. But just realistically speaking, she has no chance of winning, just given where the party is today.
Yeah,
she's not even that popular with independents. I just saw a poll.
I tell you what, if she does run independent, then I tell you what, Republicans, if you wanting your candidate to win in 2024, this doesn't help you. Because now she skims off the top a little bit and takes some of the Republican voters over with her.
Oh, right. I think she'd be taking some of the Democrats, too, though. Okay. For sure.
Let's get next to it.
All right, our next one here. We heard the First Lady Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID. Drew Locke is missing out on this week's game due to a positive COVID diagnosis. If a public figure tests positive, it gets the big breaking news banner on the cable news. Gee, do we need to keep reporting every time any public figure tests positive for COVID? Is this the new normal?
Yes, we do need to keep doing it. You want to know why? We need to keep reporting that it's a big, oh my goodness, the First Lady has COVID. Oh my goodness, Ursula Royteen has COVID. We need to report on those things until we're able to move the discussion forward. In the case of Drew Locke, who just tested positive yesterday for COVID, by the way, went the entire practice, had a great practice, has COVID, and now all of a sudden it's going to be out. Can't play in this game. So what should happen? So because Drew Locke tests positive, Ursula, for COVID, since every single player that he was around yesterday, should they not play in the game on Thursday?
Well, that is a question. So there are two things that you are addressing. One is, should it be news every single time? I'm kind of thinking no, unless there is some reason, a compelling reason to share it. The First Lady, okay, well, she has access to the president. He is of an age where it could be problematic. And she has a kind of a big role. So yeah, it makes sense to bring it up. With Drew Locke, it makes sense to bring it up because he was supposed to start tomorrow's game and, is now not going to be starting tomorrow's game. Now, I just got to ask this question, though. So should it keep being reported? I think as long as it makes sense to explain, and if there's something newsworthy that comes of it. But I think at some point we're going to have to stop because at some point everyone's going to get it. Okay, but here's the other part.
What's that?
Why is Drew Locke practicing and exposing everyone on the team to COVID? And then he's not allowed to play. What's the reason behind him not playing tomorrow if you said he practiced as well? Did he isolate? Did he run around in a bubble in a plastic? What did he do?
No, he didn't test positive. He didn't test positive until after practice.
Oh!
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. He didn't test
positive. So that means he was around everybody. Hey, what's up, man? Oh, that was a good pass. Oh, you need to go deep here. Oh, run the hitch right there. Run that route right here. Run this little hook and ladder. All this stuff. He did all that talking. Now he's got COVID.
So now they have to do contact tracing and find out who he spent more than 15 minutes with.
Yeah.
Right? Then you need to work in an office.
it's so hilarious that it's almost make me want to cry. Okay. Ursula, I'll say this. I know there's some folks and doctors and you guys that they get mad at me when I say we need to move this discussion forward. I stand by what I say.
But what do you mean by that? You need to discuss it, like not discuss it? What do you exactly mean by it?
What I mean by moving this discussion forward of COVID is saying this. You just said it a second ago. You said everybody's going to either get COVID or you're going to have the booster shot. And as a matter of fact, 95% of the country, 16 years of age and older, has either had COVID or has had a vaccine shot. With that being said, those things, 95%, we cannot keep doing this where if you get COVID, you are locked out for 5 days.
Yeah, so you're talking about the quarantining, which is what the CDC did, which they said, okay, let's just loosen everything up to make sure kids can, you know, stay in school, don't need to be testing back in. You know, you don't even need, but the companies need to follow suit. And the organizations need to follow suit if that's what they feel comfortable with. And right now, some are just not there.
I love to use the one example, and I think it's the best example ever, Ursula. And I'm going to use it this time. I'm just going to say it is the bride. The bride has the rehearsal dinner that is going to be on Friday night. She wakes up on Friday morning. She has a little bit of a sniffle. She goes over, she takes a COVID test, and she tests positive for COVID. So you mean to tell me the only symptom she has is a little runny nose and little sniffles at 8 o'clock in the morning? By 10 o'clock in the morning, those sniffles are gone, but she still tests positive for COVID. Are you guys telling me we are going to continue to say, okay, well, it's time to cancel the wedding? Is that what we're doing? Because if we're going to keep doing that, how in the world are we going to be able to function?
Yeah, and I think what you're basically saying is we need to go back to, it needs to be individual decisions, right?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
It's up to you to decide whether you're going to attend my wedding, even if you know. I mean, don't you have an obligation to say, well, I just tested positive, so come at your own risk?
Yes, you do. You could tell them that. But before COVID, and I get it. We are doing better with how we respond to things. Like, we're not going to go to someone's house now if we are feeling sick, because, you know, we did need to be better about that. We would go to someone's house and be like, oh, excuse me, I caught a cold this week. Sorry about that. We won't do that anymore. But you can't tell me that this isn't extreme, to go back to that example of canceling the wedding, because the bride on Friday morning had the sniffle and tested positive for COVID, right? And now the wedding is canceled. Come on. We can't keep doing this. And if you guys think we can keep doing this, you're sadly mistaken. Imagine being someone that has to come out $50,000+ for an event, and then all of a sudden it's gone because of a sniffle. What? We can't keep doing this, Ursula. I'm sorry. Don't leave me on the island by myself. Oh,
no. I'm just thinking. So bottom line is, again, you and I and everybody needs to just operate under the impression that, hey, I could be exposing myself to someone who is positive. So I need to do what I can, which is wear a mask in public and make sure my vaccines and my boosters are up to date. That doesn't mean I'm not going to get it, but it means that maybe I'll survive it. And by the way, antivirals are available, and they're becoming more available. Also, if you haven't done so already, there are tests that are COVID tests that are covered by insurance. All these things I just found out in the last past week. So
I want to address something, Ursula, before we move on, because 206 just wrote in and said, in G's bride COVID example, sure, she has the sniffles, but what if she passes it to her 90-year-old grandmother?
Exactly.
Stop. What do you mean? Stop right there. Stop right there. So if the bride has sniffles and she comes down with COVID but continues to keep the wedding going, my question to you is this, Ursula. How does the 90-year-old get COVID if the 90-year-old doesn't go to the wedding?
Right. So the bride has the obligation to let people know.
She's going to. She's going to let everybody know, but I'm still going on.
Yeah.
So who is going to bring their 90-year-old grandmother to the wedding?
Exactly. So it becomes, again, an individual choice. And you do with the information what you need to do to protect yourself. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
We're ready.
We just got to take off the
Cody. We went so long, we had to restart it. Go ahead. What you got, Paul?
I know, I'm surprised that one played, but we talked earlier in the show about incentives being offered to get people to join the Seattle Police Department. It's not just Seattle Police. Other organizations are offering bonuses, benefits, all sorts of incentives, but we still see tons of new now hiring signs around. So, Ursula, should we be doing more than just incentives to get people back in the workforce?
Yes. But speaking specifically about SPD, first of all, there are a couple things that need to happen. This is based on everything that I've heard from people who work within SPD. One thing that needs to happen is that they need to get a contract signed. They've been working without a contract, I believe, now for almost 2 years. So you can do all the hiring incentives you want, throw all the money around. But if people within are unhappy because there is a lot of uncertainty and all these people are leaving, that's not going to help. The other thing that needs to happen at SPD is that they need to figure out their chief situation. They've been working with interim chief Adrian Diaz. I know that he has a lot of support, but he also has a lot of detractors. So the mayor and the group that is in charge of finding a police chief needs to get going on that. Because I think there's just so much uncertainty at SPD. But in general, when it comes to hiring incentives, culture is a huge part of it. If your company has a great reputation because it has a really healthy culture, and what I mean by healthy culture is that a very supportive, nurturing, innovative, where people feel like they're seen, heard, and appreciated. I think that goes a long way, and that's not something that you can put money on. My opinion.
Yeah, you're right, Ursula. I can't disagree with anything that you said. Had the mayor on last week, Mayor Bruce Harrell, and he did tell us and talk, because I asked him, I said, yo, when going to find out who the next chief is going to be? And basically, we're going to find out it's going to be next month in September. We're going to find that out. And so, yes, there's a lot of uncertainty, and I'm quite sure that that will give a boost to the SPD, to the department, once they find out who their new leader is going to be, whether it's going to be Adrian Diaz or it's going to be somebody else. And yes, it's not going to just be money that is going to get people to come, because as we know, Ursula, money is not always everything. Money isn't always the determining factor of why you stay with a company and or organization. There are other things that go along with that. But I got to tell you, a little money first does sound good. So, hey,
lead with the money. Need to be there.
Okay. Yes. Okay. How can we have a conversation? Oh, you said $30,000? Let's sit down and have a discussion. So, shout out to the SPD, to the men and women that wear the uniform, that do a good job out there on the streets. And shout out to anybody that are thinking about being SPD and $30,000. If you would like to, you can go ahead and come and sit down with me, give me $5,000 of that $30,000, and we can be good.
I think now would be a good time to join SPD because you would actually be an impact player right away. So that's my little pitch.
Are you telling me you want me to leave here and go be SPD?
No.
Oh.
It's too late for you. I'm talking about the, you know, up and comers.
Okay. Hey, I'm looking forward to next segment because I'm happy. You're sad. There's other people that are sad. There's other people that are happy. And we're talking about empty nesters and dropping your child off and getting out of the house. Tell Scooter to quiet down. We'll do that next.
You woke him up.
It's G and Ursula. Prejudicial.
Sorry.
I can't believe you are starting this segment off with this.
This is the song fits it so perfectly, and I'm just reaching out to the moms and dads out there who are feeling especially melancholy right now. You know I love summer, but it's about this time of the season when I start to feel a bit melancholy because you can feel the days are getting shorter, and I always associate it with going back to school. But for many parents right now, especially emotional time because they're dropping off their kids at college. Maybe it's your first, your oldest going off to college, and you are facing the prospect of being an empty nester for the first time. Sorry about Scooter shaking around. I don't know what's going on there, but I remember that time, and I just remember, gee, how sad I was. I cried. Stephen went to UCLA, so it was really fun dropping him off at LA and enjoying the city while we were down there. But I just felt this profound sense of loss as we flew back. And then even though we still had, you know, our younger son at home, it just was different. And I don't know if you felt that empty nest syndrome when your boys left.
Hell no. And let's talk about it. First of all, let's take a $100 bill. I like to talk about a $100 bill. See, a $100 bill that you might have, and you're looking at that $100 bill. When you have kids in your house, that $100 bill you holding ain't really a $100 bill. It's really a $65 bill. You know what I mean? Now, when your kids are gone, that $100 bill, it's a $100 bill. So that's on the money side of things. Then on the privacy side of things, right? Usually you have to close doors to have discussions, very serious discussions when other people are in the house. But you know what? When everybody's out of your house, you can leave the doors open and to have those serious discussions. If there's a chandelier around.
Okay, stop.
What? I'm just saying. You get off, and then you okay, play you, the
so
music.
You're,
wait
you're
a
saying
minute,
that
Nick,
you enjoy the newfound freedom.
Nick, I need some music for me inside the home without the kids. Ursula is presidential to the juror and audience right now. When you get a chance, give me some music to play that I'll be rumping it up in the house, hanging out, having fun.
Okay. I'll look into that.
Yeah, while Nick is looking, I'm going to speak to the parents who right now are going through this for the first time, because you're like, now what do I do? This is the role that I have been for the last, you know, 18 years or 19 years. And, you know, all I know is to be mom, or all I know is to be dad. And now the kid leaves, and what am I going to do? How is dinner going to feel now? We've got an empty seat in the house. You know, how can I still be a part of my kids' life when they're off doing things and I have no idea what they're doing? I mean, it was hard. So I'm going to speak for the parents who are dealing with that right now. And I'm going to tell you what, you will survive, and your kids will not only survive, but they will thrive. And the reality is you never lose them. But you don't feel like that. I mean, it's different. And you don't get to do, you know, the day to day, and each kid is different too, because our oldest son Stephen was really good about texting me or giving me a call on kind of a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But you might also have that kid, which was in the case of Eric, our second child. I could go a couple weeks without hearing from him. It's like, hello, are you still alive? And then, oh wait, I see there's a charge on the credit card.
Oh.
Still breathing.
Jeffrey texted in and says, woohoo, the house is empty. You know, there's a lot of people crying, Ursula. I mean, Catherine just texted in and she says you're making her cry and she doesn't even have kids and all that stuff. But I got to tell you, I'm telling you, there's some freedom. There's the freedom to be able to go do that $100 bill part that I told you. That part really stands out. You get to travel whenever you want to. Wait a minute. Now that I think about it, Ursula. You and all your friends, you know, Tracy and Sonia and Sharon, yes, and Honey, and you can travel with them anytime you want. You don't have to ask.
And I'm glad
question.
You bring that up, because a lot of times when you are so involved in parenting, uh-huh, a lot of friendships do go by the wayside. And so it is important that, okay, let's say you've got a kid who's still a couple of years away from going to college. That is one of the things that you should be doing, is making sure that you have that friend group and that support group, because I think parents so often, like, your whole life revolves around your kids, and then when they're gone, it's like there is going to be a big hole. So I think would be, you know, really prudent right now, if you're still a few years away from when you're going to be an empty nester, that you try to make sure that you reestablish some of those friendships that you know, maybe it's been a while since you, and it's not just because, oh, you know, you don't want to be alone, but mm-hmm, the reality is your life is going to change. You're not going to have all the games that you need to go to, et cetera, et cetera. But
is it,
I just want to be reassuring to the parents who, if you are like me and felt this deep sadness about that change in your life, you never lose them. It just it changes, but you end up still just developing those relationships in a different way. And it just it changes, and it's still wonderful.
Isn't this more time with Long Live Mark?
Yes, but that's another thing. That's also an adjustment. Because again, if your life has, you know, if you have thrown yourself into your work and you've thrown yourself into your kids, and you haven't had that kind of relationship with your partner where, and then suddenly you have a lot of time with each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of marriages that go through some serious difficulties when the kids are gone because you don't have that buffer.
Well, Ursula might be down in the dumps when it comes to empty nest syndrome, but I found an alternative for G's kind of thought.
What's that?
You know, like you said, more traveling, more cologne for you, too. You got a bigger budget now.
Oh, it all sounds so transactional. Got more money.
Yo.
The reality is, for a lot of us, too.
Yeah.
Even when they go off to college, no, you've just got different expenses. It's not necessarily a huge savings.
Yeah. Well, Ursula, you I mean, when you get off the air today, you're going to be in the house, you and Scooter, right? Free day. You don't have to go on any practices. You don't have to drive anybody anywhere. You don't have to give anybody any money. I mean, Ursula, you're living a good life.
But again, I've got a son right now. I'm loving it because both my adult sons we're all in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have this feeling again because my oldest is going to be moving to Miami in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, it's just, again, it's that feeling of loss. Perfect world, we'd all be living in a compound. I've told you that.
So do me a favor tonight when you see your oldest, Stephen, say, hey, son, wanted me to ask you, do you think when you're living in Miami that you're going to really miss home a lot?
I didn't say he was going to miss him. I'm going to miss him.
Oh, hey, coming up next, your text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to The G and Ursula Show. Don't belong to me. Yeah, yeah. Freedom. Oh, freedom. My freedom. You got to give what you take. That's G and Ursula, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Appreciate you guys for listening. And Ursula, I just want you to know, did you see the text from the 425
that says, no.
They said, my dog just went absolutely nuts when he heard Scooter's collar clanking. Had to turn the radio off because my dog started barking.
I don't know what happened. It's like he's acting like he's itchy. So I'm scratching his ear right now while I'm trying to keep him quiet.
You ever have somebody scratch your back like, hey, can you scratch my back here?
Yes.
And right when they start scratching there, then all of a sudden you need to scratch all over?
Yes.
That ain't no different than Scooter right now.
Yeah, I know. Right now I'm just scratching him all over. Yeah. He's been really sweet.
He's really done
a good job the last 2 days.
Let's get back to the text messages. You start us off.
Okay. On Liz Cheney, 206 says, we should back Liz for putting country first.
Lance in Manchester says, it was not that she is not conservative enough. She lost for not being loyal to Donald Trump. And being loyal is to back anything that he wants, even when it's against the law.
And then 206 says, Liz lost because she was spending too much time on January 6th and ignoring her state. They only have one representative. She was ignoring her state, and the state wants someone who cares about them.
On partisan politics, Brian in Marysville says, it isn't my Republican Party anymore. I'm independent. Nobody wants to talk anymore. If I go Republican, I give up personal rights, not guns, but over my body. I give up on the environment and support those that support Trump. If I go Democrat, if I have to live with crime, poor economy, poor foreign policy and social justice that punishes law-abiding taxpayers, what do I do?
I think Brian speaks for a lot of people who feel like they don't have a party that fully represents them. So my opinion is try to go issue by issue, candidate by candidate, and just pick the best. Really.
I'm a black man in America. I know the feeling.
Yeah. Exactly. Regarding the incentives to hire more officers, and our Seattle City Council 425 says, people keep voting for them. They will get what they voted for. I just want to remind everybody that next year, most of the council members will be back up for a vote.
Yeah. On the mobile home development in Puyallup, area code 360 says he owns the land. It's his. He had zero obligation to provide any kind of low-cost housing. They knew and did nothing. I think the city or county might help, but it is what it is.
Dan in the 360 says it costs upwards of $10,000 to relocate a mobile home, not to mention those past a certain age require a special permit to move.
Slim says, wait, we got a bro named Slim to listen to the show. Hello, Slim. Slim says the developer should give a unit to the people that live there.
But again, the question is, why is it up to the developer? 206 says, why has the rent gone up 30% since 2019? Who is raising rents? Are they new owners? How much did property taxes go up since 2019 for the apartment owners?
We've been talking about why they've gone up for a little while now, so we'll have to get back to that. On sleepovers, Stan the man says, my house was that one house on the whole block that always had sleepovers back in the day. My mother was a single parent. We were known as the fun family on the block, and from what I remember, neighborhood parents loved that my family did this. They always felt safe knowing their child was safe at our house. This was a frequent occurrence.
See, I love that. I wanted to be that. Now when I get a chance to be grandma down the line, I hope that that can still happen. No, that does not even happen. Nick
grandma,
says, my wife has told me too many creepy dad stories. Sleepovers at my house only.
Yeah. Wait, if you're a grandma in the future, I wonder if you would go visit Montreal. All right, let's get to Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
Oh, you're killing me. And this is from Tony Robbins. This is a quote from him. Stop being afraid of what could go wrong and start being excited about what could go right. I hope you guys have a fabulous Wednesday.
I just want to tell you that that Words to Live By was for you. Stop yes. being afraid to be an empty nester and start thinking about all the stuff that can go right, Ursula.
I know. And what I'm trying to reassure everyone about is that lots of things do go right. And so life is not over when your kids move out. And if you're feeling that melancholy that like I did, just know that it will pass.
Nick, what do you got, buddy?
Well, you're right. When it comes to sleepovers, kids do like to get into the shenanigans around the house and neighborhood, and there's not too much sleep to pass around. You could believe me, coming from a background of late night bike rides to McDonald's and Nintendo tournaments as an elementary school youngin' with the friends. But I know there's some folks like Ursula who are thinking back to the good old days, saying to herself, what'd I do to have just one night again hosting the sleepover for my boys? Okay, Ursula, the grass is always greener. Go on your live your best life. Get some Izell's chicken with Scooter. He's begging for it. By the way, shout out to Rachel Bell. She did bring in that good Izell's into the office yesterday. You guys missed out. That crispy, spicy, and the rolls. Woo-wee! It was good.
Wait, how do you know about the Izell's? You weren't supposed to be here.
Me?
Yeah. All right. Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you, Nick and Ursula.
Thank you, guys. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next. Have a fantastic Wednesday.
Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that, and be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.